Good evening. We're going to look at Psalms 139 tonight. That was a very appropriate song that Kurt just led about glorify his name. David in this psalm kind of is proclaiming a number of different things in this psalm. One, that his great and glorious God is all-knowing. He also proclaims that he's always present and that he's always caring. This is a man, David, that has had not a lot unlike many of us, a lot of ups and downs in life. Maybe our ups were different than his. Our downs might have been different than his. But that's one of the things that I look at David. He didn't have just a smooth, even keel life. Even though he was a champion for God, he was imperfect. We see that the last few verses of this psalm is he's making requests. Most of it is he's proclaiming truths that he has gleaned from looking at his life with God, that God is all-knowing and that he's always been present for him. And all caring for him. And then toward the end, we will see him, like many of us, making requests to God. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started with this. If you have your Bibles, most of what we're going to be looking at is right there in Psalm 139. We are going to look at a couple of different verses in Genesis. In Genesis 1, but most of it will be right here in Psalm 139. Starts off and he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. I hope we all could be saying that. I look at my life and I'm fully aware God knows everything about me. He always has, he always will, and he's always been there. I have known people, and I've seen examples and have heard examples of people that will bring up the concept, where's God? Where's God when I went through X, Y, or Z? Or if God is so knowing, why would he allow me to go through this? But it's opportunities for us to grow. It's opportunities for us to better ourselves. And just the acknowledgement that God is there, God knows what we're going through. None of us could say, and I've heard people say this, oh, Jesus, you just don't know what I'm going through. You just don't know how X, Y, or Z person is treating me. I don't. You just can't imagine, Jesus, how hurtful people can be. David is fully aware that God is always with him and that he knows his heart and his mind. He understands his thoughts afar off. Goes on into verse 4, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. There's a lot of things that God does we have no way to comprehend. I can't even wrap my... I am so finite. I am such a black and white individual. I can't even begin to comprehend the knowledge, the love that God has for me. And David's a step ahead. He at least is aware of it. He knows that God is keeping an eye on him his whole life. There's no other explanation in David's eyes for his just existence if it wasn't because of God. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. I don't know how long ago, Preston, you did a lesson about Job, and that just the verbal description of things. It might have been a class or whatever it was. Job couldn't get away from God. He was trying to escape from God. This God, that the same God that knows everything about David, knows everything about Job. Here, Job is in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, swallowed by a big fish. He's in the belly of a fish, in the bottom of the ocean, wrapped up with seaweed all around him. What a sight that must have been. God knew where he was. Job thought he was trying to get away from God's presence. God knew where he was then. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Why shouldn't they be? God created them both. God created everything. And he's fully knowledgeable of it all. Going to Genesis 1, this is the first four verses of the Bible. In the beginning. You can't go farther than that. The beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Of course, God is going to be aware of this because he created it all. Back in Psalms, it says in verse 13, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. God knew us before we existed. Before we even, God knew us before our parents knew us. I will praise you. Just stop right there. I will praise you. That is a proclamation. It is a statement. David is going out on a limb and saying, this is what I will do. I will praise you. If for any other reason, and he's already explained so far some of the reasons why, about that God knows him so well, he's always been there. I will praise you. Why? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Our bodies how do you even comprehend our bodies? They are so durable and wonderful, and they regenerate themselves. They break and fix themselves. God did that. God designed all of that. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. Very well. David is doing some really introspective thinking right now. He's getting deep. And he's looking back on his life. He's looking at just his life. And he's able to make statements like that I will praise you. Because he is aware. There is a lot of people that go through their life unaware. Socially unaware. Physically unaware of how loud they are. How maybe socially unacceptable their behavior is. How rude they may be. They're just unaware. David is narrowing down on himself and is very aware. I am a child of God. I am from God. God is the creator of this. And he knew me before I was even born. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being yet unformed. And in your book, they are all written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. Were none of them, excuse me. God knew David's whole life before he even uttered a cry. Before he was even out of that womb. David's life, our life, is laid out like a picture for God. And he's aware of that. He knows the times that we are going to stray. He knows the times when we're struggling. He knows the times that we repent, but yet he still wants us. People say, well, if God knows everything, why do I need to pray to him? It's for us. It's for us. God wants to hear from us, but it's for us. God already knows. We're the ones that benefit from going to prayer to God. In Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, it reads, then God said, at the end of creation, says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. There's a whole separate lesson in those two verses. We might be able to get a lesson out of that some Sunday morning. He created them male and female. Not all the other XYZs that are floating around out there today. Back in Psalms, how precious also are your thoughts to me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked. In this last little bit, he's made so far a number of different proclamations and awarenesses that he's got about God, that he is all-knowing, that he's always present, and that he's always caring for him and ultimately for us. But here he gets in and he's asking God, he's opening up his hearts, even though he's just said, you know my thoughts, you know my life before it even happens. I'm coming to you in thoughts and prayer, making requests. And starting in verse 19, he ends up the psalm with these requests. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. Recently, last few years, that is a common prayer of mine against the wicked of the world. Slay them. Do them in, God. I know you know who they are. I know you are unhappy with the wicked in the world. Slay them. But in the same breath, kind of like David, I try to proclaim to God and also always want to ask him to always be on his side, because I don't want to be one of those wicked that I'm asking him to slay. And in David's life, there was a lot of wicked after him. A lot of challenges that were enemies to him that he had to deal with, a lot of battles that he had to fight. And not all of them were flesh and bone like Goliath. If all he had to fight was Goliath, that would have been a big enough battle. But that was easy compared to some of the other battles that David fought against principles, against himself. He fought some battles against himself. He says, oh, that you would slay the wicked. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. David always loved God. He did sin. He didn't live a flawless life. He always loved God. That's what got him in his fight with Goliath. Showing up as a youngster, not even in the army, showing up bringing goods from the father to his brothers and to their commanders, checking up on them. And he sees Goliath out there acting the fool, defiantly acting up against the God of Israel, swearing and challenging them. And don't you know, David's like, when's one of my big brothers going to go out there and take care of business? None of them. None of the army went out. He wasn't going to put up with it. If none of you will go, I'll go. For they speak against you wickedly. I am not putting up with it. And he's asking God, please slay these people that speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. They are my enemy because they hate you. Whether they've done anything to me or not, I will fight against them because they are enemies of the Lord God, the Creator. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. These are things that I think every one of us, if we slowed down. Do you ever get, the other day I was driving down the street going the different, you know, 90 different directions, 100 miles an hour. I was driving down the street and I passed myself going the other way. I just waved to myself and kept going, so busy. If we sometimes just slow down and are reflective like David, I bet you each one of us could have said all of these things that David said about our lives. He has always been with us. He knows everything about us. And because of that, it kind of makes you, gives you a little bit more inspiration to stay on the straight and narrow. When we realize, you know, that he knows. And it makes us stand up and be counted for the right against the evil in the world. If we don't, the people that love God, who is? If we don't make a stand, who will? The lesson's yours. This a fairly relatively short psalm. To me, a lot of things to glean out of it. If there's anything we, as your brothers and sisters, can do for you through prayer, through encouragement or whatever, please let us know. Kurt will lead us in an invitation song. Just come forward and let your needs be known while we stand and sing.